Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on Blog Talk Radio, Daughters of Yisrael. It is my privilege to be here with you all, coming to you from Baltimore, Maryland, Beth Yahweh Assembly. My name is Malka. And I'm feeling good today, Toraya. Always excited about bringing forth the Father's Word, just to allow him to bring revelation and understanding to his word. As we've been discussing the past couple of weeks, we have been talking about the weapons of our warfare. And last week, we finished up the section on prayer, which was pretty in-depth. I pray that people go back and listen and meditate and really activate the transformational power that is in prayer, especially when we are praying in faith. Actually, it only works if we are praying in faith. Yesterday, the Father brought a scripture to my attention, because as we discussed before, areas of spiritual warfare weapons. And the scripture that he brought to my mind is in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. The last clause says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I thought that was kind of Yah to bring that to my attention, so we can kind of get a sense of confirmation that as we walk in this world and in this life, and we have to deal with different challenges, whether it be spiritual or in our personal lives or even in our work lives, that if we concentrate on these three areas, prayer, fasting, and praise. Now that is a strength. It's strong. We think about a rope. A rope is not just twined with one piece of thread. It is the stronger the rope is because it has multiple threads. So when we combine these three weapons, the C is that it's not easily broken. It's not easy to have our spirits broken. It's not easy to have us discouraged if we are constantly perfecting our prayer life, our fasting life, our praise and worship life. Our foundational scripture throughout this has been 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, which says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through Yah to the pulling down of strongholds." Again, just to highlight, things that Yah has given us, they are able to pull down strongholds. But if we are not praying that effectual prayer, that effectual fervent prayer of a righteous one which changes things, we're not going to see strongholds broken down. If we are not fasting, we also are not going to see strongholds being torn down. Fasting is a secret power because it is the ultimate way of self-denial other than laying down one's life. And when we think about fasting, it is not for the carnal-minded person. And you know you're carnal-minded when it comes to fasting, when the topic comes up and the first thing you think about is missing your next meal. If that's the first thing you think about when someone says, we need to fast and pray, or would you join me in a fast? If the first thing that comes to your mind is, man, I plan to have a pastrami sandwich for lunch, or the first thing that comes to your mind is, but I plan to go out to eat, then we are still carnal when it comes to our walk with Yah. Not saying you're a bad person, not judging you as being a bad person, but we have to examine our maturity according to how we think. And usually the first thought in our mind is the truth of our spirit or our flesh. Wherein the one that is spiritually minded, when they are called upon a fast, the first thing that comes to their mind is excitement, or when do we get started? Because they, from experience, know and have experienced breakthrough from having a fast before the Father. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And this is Yahushua speaking, Mashiach, our teacher. One thing we have to think about when we think about Yahushua, Yahushua was the leader of a school. And we'll see a scripture that confirms that. But he's a leader of a school, and he taught his disciples principles. He taught his disciples commandments. He gave understanding to Torah. We also, those of us who have faith in Mashiach, those of us who are in the ways of Torah, we are also Yahushua's students. And it's no different whether we read this today or if we were at his feet some plus 2,000 years ago, this is still our teacher, our Moré, teaching us spiritual truths. Yahushua was Mashiach. He is Mashiach. He is Yah manifested. But on a more simpler term, he is our teacher. So let's receive his word as instruction. He says here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And it's very interesting that we have this scripture because it's not necessarily speaking about fasting, but it can be applicable because when we are fasting, we are putting ourselves in a state of hunger and thirst. But are we hungering and thirsting? We'll look at another scripture, probably we won't get to it today, where people are fasting for the wrong reasons. But if we are fasting for righteousness purposes, righteousness reasons, scripture says Yahushua is telling us that we shall be full. See, the person who does this is what they call in Hebrew a tzaddik. A tzaddik is a righteous person. This is a person where their physical needs, their physical necessities are not as important as what is spiritual, as what is righteous. They live beyond, to my mind, believe it or not, is Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein was such a scientist that he forgot about the cares of just his body. They say he would come outside sometimes and he would have the wrong shoes on, or his jacket will be mismatched or something along those lines, is because his mind was always a certain place. His mind was always focused on science, always thinking. A righteous person does not care so much of the things of this world, but their mind, their thought processes, their meditation is of the things of Elohim. This is having the mind of Yahushua. Because if we study the life of Yahushua, he was a poor, homeless man. He out of his own mouth testified that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He lived off of offerings. He lived off of kindness of strangers. We see that when he fed the 5,000. He didn't take his lunch and multiplied it. He took the lunch of somebody else and multiplied it. But he said out of his own mouth, my desire is to do the will of my Father. So when we hunger and thirst and we fast for righteousness purposes, it is a way for us to develop the mind of Yahushua. When someone fasts, what they are actually seeking is for supernatural, spiritual dormant into heaven and saying, here is my offering. Please answer my supplication. So let's just lay down a basic understanding of what fasting is. The word for fasting in Ibrit, in Hebrew, is the word zoom, zoom. And you can find that in your Greek, the Hebrew concordance number 6684. And it means to abstain from food. But we're going to expand that definition to include to abstain from food for a spiritual purpose or breakthrough. Another tool that we use at the assembly when we are studying is Ancient Hebrew Lexicon by Jeff Brenner. And what he has done in this lexicon is he has defined words according to the original meaning of each Hebraic letter, because every letter has a meaning, and the combination of these letters give us insight of what a word means. Strongly suggest that if you can get your hands on it, if you can buy the book, go ahead and buy the book. The website is Ancient Hebrew. I think it's AncientHebrew.org. His name is Jeff Brenner. You can always Google it. But at his website, for those who have Apple products, you're able to actually download the lexicon to your iPad for free. If you want to buy the hard copy, you also have the option to buy the hard copy. But when we look at the ancient Hebrew lexicon, the number is 1404, And the letter that spells this word is Zadi, Wa, or Vav, and the Mem. So when we look at the Zadi, that is a picture of a man laying on his side. And when we look at the Wa, that is a connection. And we look at the Mem, that is water. Now the root of this word is the first letter and the last letter. So literally, when we are fasting, we are or laying on our side looking for water. This is the thought behind fasting. Let's take a look at Romans 12:1, one of my favorite scriptures. A lot of people get tripped up with Shaul's teachings. Always forget basic rules of study, which is know your audience. The book of Romans were written to Roman believers that were living in the province of Rome. So a lot of things that he was teaching them about was things that he had to explain because they were not native-born Yisraeli. And so when people read the book of Romans, they think that Shaul is releasing people and freeing people, and he's talking contrary to Torah, even though that contradicts other evidences that he kept Torah, then why would he teach somebody else not to keep it? It's not logical, but standing the audience. But in Romans 12:1, Shaul writes to the assembly, and he says to them, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, he's begging them, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, set apart, acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable service. When we are fasting, this is a type of offering. This is a way of presenting our bodies to the Father. You're denying yourself what you need, what your physical body needs to be alive. You're denying yourself that. Not that it is possible, but it's almost equitable to say, I'm going to not breathe, which we know would cause your death eventually. But food and water is something that the Father has created this body to need. And we're saying, Father, this basic need that I have, I am willing to not, because I need something supernaturally done from the spiritual realm. What are some of the physical effects of fasting? David said somewhere that he won't offer something that didn't cost him anything. So when we are fasting, what is it costing us? What is it costing our bodies? I Googled this, and some of the things that came up, and this is just within the first 24 to 48 hours of fasting, the body or the person begins to experience sleeplessness, the inability to sleep. The body will begin to feed off itself after 24 to 48 hours, which I thought was absolutely amazing, because the Father has, the scripture says that we are wonderfully made. He has knit us together in our mother's womb. He has provided us a body that is going to survive, even if it has to consume itself for survival. The main thing is making sure that the brain has glucose. So what the body does, it begins to tap into your fat stores. Once your fat stores are depleted, it begins to tap into your muscles, protein. Change those, break down the muscle into sugar to use to function. And it will begin to use muscles all through your body, including your heart. Your heart is a muscle. It will begin to use your heart. It will begin to use your thigh muscles, your arms, anything on you that has muscle, your body will begin to break that down just to supply the brain with what it needs. This is after the first 2 days of fasting. Your metabolism slows down because your body is going to survival mode. Our hormones begin to fluctuate because we're not taking in food. Dehydration, begins to set in. And this is if you're taking a fast where you're not taking in anything, which is a fast that Yah has to call you to. If you pick yourself up to do, and we'll talk about this, Yah willing, next week, doing a fast as Moshe and Eliyahu and Yahushua, where they fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and they did not eat or drink. This kind of fast has to be undertaken by the leadership of Yah. If not, you can literally die. You will die. Unless the Father is leading you to this. But again, not trying to jump ahead, we'll address that, Yah willing, next week. After 24 or 48 hours without water, you begin to go through dehydration. Physically, your face begins to sink in, your eyes sink in, your jaw sinks in. Our body is 75% water. When you're dehydrated, you are now depleting every area of your body of water. Dehydration leads to low blood pressure, massive headaches. These are all signals your body is sending off in you to let you know you need to drink something, but you're fasting. So we suffer through these things. Dizziness. If you go through dehydration long enough, have low blood pressure long enough, it can lead to cardiac arrest. People who are fasting, they experience moodiness because their blood sugar is low. Thoughts get foggy. Long-term fast, people can become anemic, suffer liver impairment, develop kidney stones, have mineral imbalances. So this is the cost of us string a fast. It costs us something. Again, if we're going into a long-term fast, that should be done under the guidance of the set-apart spirit. It should be something that Yah is leading you to, and usually when he leads people into those kind of fasts, he's taking them through some kind of transitional stage in their life. But when we choose to do a 3-day fast or a 10-day fast or whatever the case may be, even that should be undertaken with counsel of the set-apart spirit, knowing that the Father is leading us to do it. You're taking a 1-day fast because you're looking forward for a breakthrough. You prepare your mind, you prepare your body, and you for the throne of the Most High as you offer up your body, the needs of your body, for a supernatural spiritual breakthrough. And there are also spiritual benefits. Not only spiritual benefits, obviously, but their physical benefits. The Father is merciful. We're going to take a look at some examples of fasting in the scripture. A person that I found in my studies to fast is Moshe. And again, we'll discuss Moshe in more detail, Yah willing, next week, when we examine the fast of Moshe, Eliyahu, and Yahushua, because they were called to do this fast for a specific purpose. But let's turn to the book of Judges, Mishpatim, Judges chapter 20 and verse 26. We want to examine our history of fasting so we can learn how to apply this principle in our prayer lives, in our spiritual lives, that it becomes a habit. So Judges chapter 20, verse 26 says, "Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the house of Yah, and they wept and sat there before Yahweh, and they fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before Yahweh." Verse 27. "And the children of Israel inquired of Yahweh." Covenant of Yah, of Elohim, was there in those days. Now, I always encourage people to go back and read the entire chapter of verses that we read, just to get you the complete idea of what we're talking about. But just to summarize, this is a situation where Israel has actually gone to war against their brother Benjamin. And they're now, they've gone through, I believe at this point, 2 days where the Benjamites has overcame them and slew a great deal of their men. And now they're sitting before Yah in fasting and weeping and asking Yah for direction. So we're supposed to know and glean from that that there are going to be times as a nation, as assemblies, that we are going to need to come together and fast and pray for Yah Elohim's direction. I know in our assembly we have done that. We've come together and we've fasted and we've prayed about things, and the Father has always answered us. Sometimes his answer was yes, and sometimes his answer was no, but he answered us nonetheless. Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to read verse 3, then I'm going to drop down to verses 20 to 23. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. "And I set my face unto Adonai Elohim to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before Yahweh Elohim for the holy mountain of my Elohim." Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, "even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." In those verses, a lot, but we want to focus on that Daniel set his face towards Yah, seeking understanding about something. And he did that by combining fasting with prayer, humbling himself, and seeking the direction of Elohim. And Yah sends him an archangel, a high station Malachim, to Daniel. He says, when you began at the beginning of your supplication, the command was already given. And we hear again in another place in Daniel where it says, when the angel tells Daniel, when you turned your face, your answers were already, your prayers were already answered. But just to confirm something about when we talked about prayer, the timing, the importance of timing when we offer our prayers before the Father, because this is happening in verse 21, at the time evening sacrifice. Go back when we spoke about the importance of timing our supplications. Yes, we can pray to Yah at any time, but there are specific times where we are actually coordinating ourselves with something that is going on in the heavens, the time of the sacrifices, the beginning and ending of a day, the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour. These were things the Father showed us when we did that study. We're going to go to 2 Samuel, and go to chapter 12, and we're going to take a look at verse 16. And it says here, David therefore besought Elohim for the child, and David fasted and went in and laid all night upon the earth. So this situation is when David and Bathsheba's first child, which was born and conceived in adultery, the father of the husband of Bathsheba was murdered by the command of David, and the father told David that judgment was going to come, but the child was not going to live. But David entreated the father, and he fasted and he prayed the whole time the child was born and not doing well, asking that the father save the life of the child. Passed on the seventh day that the child died. So I wanted to bring this in because we have to always remember that Yah is Elohim. And even when we pray about something, and even when we're fast praying about something, we must remember that He is Elohim, and He, as judge, has the right to and judge according to His perfect will and His perfect desire. We see that justice called that the child's life be taken. And that's exactly what the father did. Let's take a look at another example of fasting in the scriptures. And we're going to go to the book of Esther. And we're going to go to chapter 4 and verse 16. Again, go back over the chapter. This is a historical account of when the Jews were, or the Yehudim, were captive in Persia. And an evil report was raised up against them, and there was a plot to actually annihilate all of the Yehudim in Persia. And the father raised up Esther, who at the time was the queen and wife of the king, Ahasuerus. And she is going to risk her life to go before the king to gain mercy for her people. But this is what she does before she even goes to the king. Verse 16, chapter 4 of Esther says, and this is her talking to her uncle Mordechai. She tells him, go and gather all the Yehudim that are present in Shushan, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. In other words, going before the king without an invitation was against the law of Persia, and she could have lost her life. So she is seeking favor because she's not going to wait for the king to call for her. Sometimes we passively want things done, and we might say, okay, Father, if it's your will that the king call me, which is nothing wrong with that. We can do those kind of things. Gideon did it when he wanted direction. He asked the Father, if you want me to do thus and so, let this and thus happen. And then he asked for confirmation. We can do those things. But Esther was active in making sure that the next step she was going to be, that she was going to make, would be the will of the Father. So she entreats all of the Yehudim to fast for 3 days and three nights, that the Father show her favor, because she is going to go before the king without an invitation. She's not going to wait for the invitation. We have to keep that in mind. And this is done to her favor, because the king asked her, what is it you want? Ultimately, for the destruction of the enemies of Yehudim, which at that time was Haman. And Haman and his 10 sons were killed on the same gallows that were built for the Yehudim, including Mordechai. And it's interesting that those gallows were built based on the advice of Haman's wife. She didn't give him good counsel, because the counsel that she gave him, she ended up watching her 10 sons and her husband being hung on them. But that's just a sidebar. I am going to stop there today. Short lesson today, but hallelujah, the word was brought forth. Yeah, willing, next week, we're going to pick up, between now and then, meditate and pray and ask Yah, why is fasting an effective way to change situations? Why does fasting change things? And Yah willing, maybe next week we'll open the lines up and we will have people share what the Father has revealed to them between now and next week. I'm going to also remind everyone that is listening that we have a sisterhood prayer line that is open on Wednesday evenings. If you are interested for the information, send me a text. My number is 443-04-3454. Send me a text and I will text out the information about the prayer line. We usually do it at Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And this is where we bring our supplications to the Father. We bring our praise reports. We bring our scripture reading. We bring our songs. We bring the heaviness of our heart. We bring the joy of our ruach. We bring it all together as a sisterhood and stand in agreement one with another before our Father. Scripture says one chase 1,000, two chase 10,000. And one thing we're not doing enough in Israel is praying to chase away the myriad of demonic forces that surround us each and every day of our lives. Until next time, Israel, may the peace of Yah be upon each and every one within the hearing of my voice, within his nation of Israel. Join us tomorrow, Yah willing, as our brother who started last week is walking us through the book of Titus. Join us as Moray Ahal'al brings forth the word as the Father has given him. Until next time, family, shalom, shalom. Hallelujah.
I can see.